तदेव माकन्यजलेशभाषितम् महामनस्तद्विगनाय दुर्मदः हरेर्विदितागतमङ्गनारदा स त्वदम् निरीशे त्वरान्वितः
Of the controller of water, Varuna.
Bhajitam.
Words.
Mahamanaha.
Proud.
Tat.
Those words.
Viganaya.
Having paid little heed to. Durmadaha. Vainglorious.
Hare.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vidita.
Having learned.
Gatim.
The whereabouts.
Angam.
O dear Vidura.
Narada.
From Narada.
Vasatalam.
To the depths of the ocean.
Nirviviche.
Entered.
Tvara anvita.
With great speed. Translation: Maitreya continued. The proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura. He learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Materialistic warmongers are not even afraid to fight with their mightiest enemy, the Personality of Godhead. The demon was very encouraged to learn from Varuna that there was one fighter who could actually combat him, and he was very enthusiastic to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to give him a fight, even though it was predicted by Varuna that by fighting with Vishnu he would become prey for dogs, jackals, and vultures. Since demoniac persons are less intelligent, they dare to fight with Vishnu, who is known as Ajita, or one who has never been conquered. Maitreya Vacha, Tadevam Akarnya, Jalesha Bhashitam, Mahamanastat Viganaya, Durmadaha, Harer Viditva Agatim Anga Narada, Vasatalam, Nirvi Vishe, Tvaram Vitaha. Demons are very proud of their whatever they have, and they generally don't give any consideration to good advice, just like Duryodhana is a very good example of this. He had many good advisors in the form of Vidura, Bhishma, Drona, and others, but he didn't listen to any of them. he went ahead with his own plan. And even another example is he was so proud that he even tried to capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead and defeat him and fight against him. So they at least show their courage, although such courage is compared to the courage of the moth who flies valiantly into the flames of the fire. When the moth flies into the flames of the fire, even with great courage, it doesn't matter, he'll be burned up. His courage is foolish. Similarly, the courage of Hiranyaksha is completely foolish, because how can he be a match for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's not possible. One may ask the question, why is it that Narada seems to give sometimes information to the demons? He seems to even help them or give them good advice. He sometimes gives them information that they didn't have. Like Narada Muni told Kamsa that this child is already born someplace. The one you're looking for is already born. So Kamsa immediately killed so many children. And here Narada Muni is telling him that he's saying, yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. You can go and find him. So one might think that, why is he trying to do that? This person is, this demon is inimical to the Lord. He's going there to try to kill him. So why would Narada Muni tell him where he is? Like if someone's wants to do harm, and you tell the person who wants to do harm where the other person is, then in a sense you might be contributing to or assisting. But Narada Muni is above all those kinds of considerations. He is the perfect Brahmana. He gives the truth in any circumstance to whomever will hear it. And sometimes that truth means even ordinary news. Narada Muni sometimes is the carrier of ordinary news. He may give information that's not exactly transcendental, or may not appear to be transcendental. Prabhupada said that a Brahmana should be so honest that even if the thief comes and says, where are you keeping your money? He says, yeah, over there. He tells him where it is. Sometimes when I say that, though, the temple president asks for a further explanation of that. Does that mean that we should tell the thieves where our money is? Well, that's, you could say that the brahminical quality of honesty, satyam. There are other principles also that one should not necessarily always be attached to mundane truth. For example, Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, he promised Kamsa that he would bring all the children of Devaki, one by one, to Kamsa, so that Kamsa could kill them. Did he do that? Well, he did, up to the sixth one. He brought six. The seventh one, he didn't bring, but that one was something extraordinary because it was Balaram or Sankarshan, and by Yogamaya, it was, that child was transferred to the womb of Rohini, so he couldn't bring that one. But the eighth one he could have brought, but he decided that what is the use of this mundane truthfulness? And even he used his good name, because Kamsa knew that if he made a promise, he would fulfill it. That's how honorable Vasudeva's word was. That if he gave his word, it would be carried out no matter what. So in one sense, Vasudeva could be considered on a more advanced level even than Yudhishthira Maharaj, because Yudhishthira Maharaj was also known as someone who never told a lie. And he was very attached to that. And when Krishna asked him to tell a lie, to say that Ashwatthama was slain, Yudhishthira hesitated. He was attached to being known as one who never told a lie. And he didn't want to do it. But Vasudeva didn't mind. Vasudeva didn't care. It doesn't matter whether people think I'm a liar or whatever, I'm not going to give my child over to Kamsa. It's Krishna. Krishna, not the other children he gave, but Krishna he wouldn't give. But Narad Muni, he keeps his reputation as being always truthful, so that the demons will always consult with him. And he can also get information from them that he can pass on. He's like a double agent. But not only double agent, but he's transcendental. He's actually always interested in the best for everyone. Paradukaduki. It is a quality of a devotee of the Lord that he doesn't like to see others unhappy. Sarvas sukhino bhavantu. He likes to see let everyone be happy. And he knows how everyone can be happy by surrendering to Krishna. And that's why he's the foremost spiritual master practically in the universe. And some of his disciples are from the demon group. Prahlad Maharaj is from the demon group. Prahlad is the son of Hiranyakashipu. So based on Prahlad's family lineage, he was a demon. Daitya is in the same line. But yet he became a devotee. By whose efforts? Narad Muni. And perhaps because he had given information to Prahlad's uncle, therefore there was some appreciation. So they weren't afraid. Yes, you can speak to Narada, he's on our side. So Narad Muni was spiritual master. He didn't care whether one was externally a demon or something else. He gave good knowledge to everyone. He gave transcendental knowledge. The six Goswamis are also described like that. Dhiradhi rajana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito. They are dear to the Dhira and the Adhira. Dhira means those who are sober, self-controlled, those pious persons, and the Adhira are, they're not controlled, they're demoniac. But the six Goswamis were dear to both. How's that? You might think they should only be dear to the devotees, and the non-devotees wouldn't like them. No, but even the non-devotees liked them, because they were so pure-hearted. They were the well-wishers even of the demons. They cared about the demons also. And people, the demons could appreciate that, the non-devotees. It doesn't matter. He's not a favorite. He has no favoritism. He cares just as much about us as he cares about the devotees. It's true, in one sense, that the Lord is equal. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti napriya. I'm equal to everyone. I'm not partial to anyone. But whoever renders service, whoever renders service unto me is a friend, is in me, and I'm also a friend to him. Krishna gives everyone a chance to become his devotee. It's not that only persons born in families that are pious have a chance to become devotees. Even the demons. Bali Maharaj, he was also from the demoniac family, same family. He was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And he also became a devotee. This is the potency of Narad Muni. And if we look, we don't have to look too far. We can look also at our own background. What is our background? What type of activities are we engaged in? Demoniac. But the representative of Narad Muni, he came to the demoniac places and he is making devotees. He's encouraging them to become devotees of Krishna. And he was successful. In fact, he even left Punyabhumi, the pious place of India, and went to America, the most impious place, and made devotees there. And then took them back to India to encourage people from India to become devotees. So this is part of the plan of the Lord and the devotees. In some cases, however, like Hiranyaksha, there's no use giving any good advice. What kind of advice can you give to someone like Hiranyaksha? He doesn't listen. We see, Varuna gave him good advice. If you go and try to fight with Vishnu, you'll become the pleasure playground for dogs and jackals. They'll be eating your body. But he didn't listen. He didn't care for that advice, even though it was completely true, and that's exactly what will happen. Still, he didn't care. So for such persons, there's only one way of reasoning with them. It's called argumentum ad baculum. Take the club, take the stick and beat them. Because they don't listen. Brahmanas, you can reason with them with philosophy. Kshatriyas, you can flatter them. Vaishyas, you can bribe them. But a Shudra, you just have to use a stick because he doesn't understand any other method.
So we see that when Lord Bor, Varaha, meets with Hiranyaksha, there won't be too much philosophy. There's not much use for wasting words. Better just get on with it. And a Kshatriya, he has to be able to fight. He doesn't just give words. Brahmanas, they give words. They give good advice. But a Kshatriya, he picks up the mace, picks up the bows and arrows. He enforces that way. They're both saying the same thing. One is saying it with words. Shastra. Shastra. There's astra. Weapons. But they're both weapons. The Shastra is also weapons, giving knowledge. It's instructions. But the Kshatriya, he picks up weapons. Sharp arrows. Although the words of the sadhus are also very sharp, they cut. But they cut for those who are intelligent. Those who are not intelligent, they can't understand. I'll read the next text. Dadarsha tatra vijitam daradaram proni yamana vanim agradam straya mushnantam akshnas faruchoruna shriya jasachaho vanagocharo mraga. He saw there the all-powerful personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the ends of his tusks, and robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed, "Oh, an amphibious beast!" Purport. In a previous chapter, we have discussed the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Varaha, the boar. While Varaha, with his tusks engaged in uplifting the submerged earth from the depths of the waters, this great demon Hiranyaksha met him and challenged him, calling him a beast. Demons cannot understand the incarnations of the Lord. They think that his incarnations as a fish or boar or tortoise are big beasts only. They misunderstand the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in his human form, and they deride his descent. In the Chaitanya Sampradaya, there is sometimes a demoniac misconception about the descent of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu's body is spiritual, but demoniac persons consider the body of the Supreme Personality to be material, just like ours. Abhajananti mamudha, persons who have no intelligence, deride the transcendental form of the Lord as material. Yes, if you try to explain to scholars that the Lord incarnates as a boar or as a tortoise, they laugh. They think this is some kind of a fairy tale, just like the Aesop's fables or something like that, some stories, cartoons. They can't imagine how God can appear in these animal forms and still be the most worshipable. They don't understand. That actually these incarnations of the Lord are the origin of all the other of these species. In other words, the first boar is here, Varaha, then the other boars, that we know of, they are descendants of that boy. He comes in all different forms, incarnations. Sometimes as a swan, sometimes as a lion, sometimes as a tortoise. And the other species, they come from him. But even when he's in the form of a boar, he's not an ordinary boar. He's not made of matter. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all beautiful, he's all knowing, he's all powerful. He has all the same qualities. And those who are devotees, they can recognize. Ah, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He assumes these different forms. Lila avatar. These are pastimes. These are pastimes. So, because the earth had fallen into the ocean, he took the form of an animal that's very good at lifting up filthy, getting things out of a filthy place, a boar. So he went into the water to dig out the earth. You might say, well, if he's God, then why did he have to go to the trouble of becoming a boar? Why not just, by his will, he could do some mystic and the earth would just come out of the water? He could have done that. Actually, he doesn't need to do anything. He's Atmarama, he's satisfied simply by himself, so he doesn't need to do any pastimes. You could say he doesn't even need to have associates. He doesn't. What does he need gopis for? He's already self-satisfied. Why should he have to go through the trouble of dancing? But he does. He enjoys these activities. He's a person. He enjoys relationships with other persons. He enjoys doing things. He likes to fight also. One of his characteristics is that he's a good fighter. And he enjoys a good battle. So, the thought of Hiranyaksha coming and wanting to fight with him was actually an enjoyable opportunity for the Lord. He likes a good fight. The example is given a king. He's a Kshatriya. So he keeps some very strong, good fighters, wrestlers. He keeps them in his entourage. And when he wants a mock fight, then he has a mock fight with them to keep him in shape. Similarly, the Lord, he likes to. But he keeps sometimes devotees like this Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They're actually Jaya and Vijaya, so they're devotees. The Lord is criticized by the non-devotees. Abhajananti mamudha manushim turamashutam parambhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwar. They think he's just ordinary human. Or, like when he comes as Krishna, they think he's an ordinary man. And when he came as Varaha, he thinks he's an ordinary boar. This is their foolishness, they don't understand. Parambhavam, ajananto. Parambhava means supreme nature. They don't understand his supreme dominion over everything. Parambhavam, ajananto. They don't understand. So they criticize. They criticize Krishna also. Sometimes they say that Krishna means from a black Aboriginal background. That he's from a black tribe of Aborigines. They criticize. Or they criticize Nityananda Prabhu. That he's from a lower birth. Or but even though Krishna's form appears to be like a man, actually it's completely transcendental form. It's not made of matter. It's not made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, like our bodies. You might say, well, if it's not made of those things, how can he interact? If he's got a spiritual form, how can he even come in contact with the material forms? It wouldn't be on the same level. But remember, he's also in charge of matter. Matter is also one of his energies, as well as spirit. So if he wishes, he can adjust the different energies so that there can be a good fight, so that he can land his blows appropriately, even to the demons. Even he touches the demons. So any questions?
Norāc, vai tu kreit dīmās te never challenge Lord Brahma, because he's after all like top 9 in the universe.
He's, in a sense, he's their father. Well, they do sometimes attack him. There's description in the beginning when he created different types of beings. There was some who attacked him. But generally, he's also considered so impartial, so neutral, that they don't attack him either. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he worshipped him because he wanted to get benedictions from him. Brahma is the Brahma. He's the first Brahmana. So they don't fight with him because he's not a Kshatriya. They have some principles of fighting, some etiquette. They don't fight their... It's like even a lion, he doesn't fight his father. He doesn't attack his father. He may attack everyone else, but he doesn't attack his father. Some respect. So they have some respect for Brahma. And he also gives them benediction, just like he gave. He gave Hiranyakashipu some very great benedictions.
Maharaj, you quoted the statement that you call me Brahmanas biology and Kshatriyas by flattering. So, is it that also these members of different varnas, they try to convince others by these means?
Kshatriyas? No. Kshatriya doesn't flatter. He may flatter, but he uses the stick, mostly. He threatens. If you don't do it, I'll smash you. It's like when police come up to you. They come up and they say, you can't do this. If you do it again, I'll arrest you. Or I'll beat you. So that's the police, that's a Kshatriya mood. They don't give too much discussion.
Maharaj, why these great demons are so obsessed of fighting or killing Vishnu? Why they are so much obsessed?
Because he's the only one left above them. They're shooting for the top. They've already defeated Varuna. They've defeated all the other demigods. He's the last one between them and complete control. Why aren't the demons satisfied with what they've got? Because they want to be God. Their ultimate goal is that they want to be the supreme controller. And they think, if I'm God, then I can enjoy everything. There'll be no one who can stop me. Ravana, why did he kidnap Sita? Because he couldn't stand that there was a beautiful woman that he didn't have control of, that he hadn't enjoyed. The thought was just disgusting to him. How could there be a beautiful woman that I have not enjoyed? That's not under my control. This is their insatiable desire, lust. Burns like fire. And the more fuel you put on the fire, it just grows more. So their lust is insatiable. So he thought, how is this? There's still one person that's superior to me, then I'll defeat him. And then I'll be supreme.
And Maharaj, nowadays people, they maybe think that if I only be the boss in some company, or if I only get this particular woman or something, but it goes that then I'll be satisfied. But it goes, if you get these things, it grows.
It grows, yes. Sure. Because if he's successful on that level, then he goes up and then he wants to become the head of another company, a bigger company. Or if he's a fighter, he defeats one country, he wants to defeat all the countries, wants to become the top country in the world. Some countries are thinking like that. We want to be the number one country so we can control all the others. We can enjoy everything then. Well, this is the nature of the living entity. He wants to be God. The living entity, when he's in his insane condition. When he's sane, he realizes, how can I be God? I'm not God, how can I? But when he's insane, he thinks, I'll become God. And then I can enjoy everything. So as you say, in the material world, even we see everyone is trying in their own way to become the supreme enjoyer. And he's thinking it'll keep expanding. So much wealth do I have today, and it will increase more and more by my schemes. He is my enemy and I have killed him. And my other enemies, they will also be killed. No one is as powerful and as happy as I am. I shall give some charity, I shall make some sacrifice, and thus I shall rejoice. So this is the demoniac nature. Any other questions? Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.